Every day, CT testifies to the reality that Jesus is alive, transforming his world and bringing his kingdom to bear. Jesus transforms, CT equips. Make a gift to our nonprofit ministry with a gift of $20 to provide 150 more people with redemptive storytelling, global perspective, and thoughtful podcasts. Give now at morect.com/equip. This episode is brought to you in part by Zondervan, publisher of Ghosted, An American Story, written and narrated by New York Times best-selling ghostwriter Nancy French, and is available everywhere audiobooks are sold.
This is Russell Moore, and you're listening to Signposts. I received a text message from a church staff member several days ago that I thought was interesting because I've been asked this several times. The question was this: hey, Dr. Moore, I have a question for you if you don't mind. Say you have a woman in your church who has become a believer, but she's terrified of baptism because of a situation in her past. He says, is there a... And this is from a Baptist church that practices immersion. It says, is there another form of baptism that could be appropriate for her, or maybe a partial baptism that's there? And I thought that was interesting because I have had people who have said to me before, what if you have someone who has a serious trauma issue that's related to water? You sometimes will have people who have survived drowning. You sometimes have people who have been abused in various ways with water in their past, and there's a deep sense of anxiety and maybe even trauma when it comes to going down into the water and being unable to breathe. Now, I know that many people who listen to this program are not Baptists, as I am, so you know, many of you are Anglicans or Presbyterians or Methodists or various other things that practice other modes of baptism other than immersion. Well, first understand that when I speak of baptism, in terms of how I see baptism, I don't see immersion as just one of the ways that we do it. I see it as being of the essence of what baptism is. And you may disagree with me on that, and that's fine. But I think that, as a colleague of mine said years ago, the question of various modes of baptism makes about as much sense as the question of various modes of circumcision. Transferring what is happening in baptism actually turns it, in my view, into something else. Again, you may completely disagree with that, but this would still apply to you. I mean, theoretically, you could have someone who has a traumatic sort of reaction to pouring or sprinkling. Be harder to imagine, but that certainly could be the case. So what should the response to that be? Well, my response to this particular text message was to say, you know, I don't know the situation that's going on here, so I can't diagnose it pastorally in terms of what's happening with this particular woman. So, but I would want to make a clear distinction between someone who is reluctant to be baptized because of a discomfort with water. I've had a lot of people like that, a lot of people who were, you know, a little bit hydrophobic, didn't want to be baptized. I actually think that a little bit of hydrophobia is more appropriate for baptism than the people who just go bounding on into the baptistry and bounding right on out, because the purpose of baptism is a sign, and the sign that Jesus is giving to us is of union with him in death, burial, and resurrection. And so water, picturing as it does throughout Scripture, both life and judgment. Think of the flood. Think of the Red Sea. Think of the way that the Scripture speaks consistently of the sea and of water in terms of, you know, Jonah, trapped within the great fish beneath the waters of the sea. underneath the water, one cannot breathe. And underneath the water, one is completely dependent upon someone pulling him or her out. Well, that perfectly signifies what it is that happens to us. We follow Christ. We're united with him. And like him, we go down beneath the judgment of God. We go down beneath the waters of death. And we are pulled forward by the voice of Christ himself. So I would want to distinguish between someone who's a little bit hydrophobic and somebody who has had a serious sort of trauma that is there. I wouldn't want to do anything that is going to be unhealthy or destabilizing to someone in a way that is going to have serious consequences. So it may be that what I would do is to delay this until we have an opportunity to figure out what's going on with that person. Maybe you would have some expert psychiatric sort of input as to whether or not someone is ready or going to be able to go through with this. I mean, if you have trauma that's not been diagnosed or dealt with, then you want to deal with that. And so I would treat this the same way I would someone who has a physical injury that would prevent that person from being baptized. And so if there's a physical injury that would prevent someone from being immersed in water, well, my response would not be to say, well, let's sprinkle that person or pour water on that person, although yours may be, if that's what your theology allows for. Mine doesn't. In the same way, someone who, you know, suppose there was someone who had a complete allergy to water. I mean, I know that's not humanly possible. Let's just pretend that it is for a minute. I wouldn't want to replace baptismal water with sand. I don't think I have the authorization to do that. So I might delay this. If there's a situation where it's completely impossible for someone to be baptized without doing damage to that person, well, then I might indefinitely delay baptism for that person. I don't think Jesus expects us to harm people in order to carry out his great commission and to follow him. And so in that case, where you really do have someone who just cannot be baptized, I would see that as a thief on the cross sort of situation where it's physically impossible to carry this sign out. That doesn't mean the sign's not important. Commanded by Jesus, given to us, given to the whole church. So not knowing the pastoral situation there completely, I would say get some other people involved and figure out what's happening here and delay that baptism until you do. This is Russell Moore, and you've been listening to Signposts.
This episode was brought to you in part by the audio adventure series Discovery Mountain. Help your kids fall in love with the Bible. Each true-to-life adventure story will draw them closer to Jesus. Visit discoverymountain.com/CT.